something. The sign on the door says Gateway, what? Pardon?
Pentecostal.
Yeah. Pentecostal, charismatic, not funeral home. Not necessarily quiet time, though we need those. Okay, I'm changing things up. In relation to what Linda was saying, I grew up with First Nation people. I went to high school with a lot of First Nations kids. I went to Brantford Collegiate Institute and Vocational School, BCI. And near Brantford is the Six Nations Reserve. And I can't remember all the what the Six Nations stand for. But every day at school, two busloads from the Six Nations came to school. And so I got to know some of them, played some sports with them. Matter of fact, there was one guy there, his name was Dan, last name was Stats, and he was one of the first, I got to get this right, he was one of the first Canadian high school rugby players to play rugby in Wales. Because we went to, in my grade 13 year, we went to Wales for to play rugby, and Dan was a part of that, and he was from Six Nations, and that was a big deal. So I got to know a bit of the character about the Six Nations. So what I'm going to do, I got a message here, and actually it's pretty good. It's about God as a consuming fire and a jealous God. Now there's some good stuff in there. I'll use it another time. I want to talk about what some of the things that Linda was saying, and there's one scripture verse that really came to mind. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. I will give you every place where you set your foot as promised to Moses. I will give you every place where you set your foot as promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert and from Lebanon to the country and to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now we know this. It's a popular portion of Scripture. That's God talking to Joshua. Moses is dead. He's gone. Joshua is the new upstart. He's the new leader of Israel. And he's saying, I'm going to give every place. What was spoken to Linda was basically here spoken to Joshua. And I believe what this First Nations young lady was speaking to Linda was an invitation. That this is what I want to do in relation to where you are located. This is what God wanted to do to Joshua in the relation to where he was located. North Bay and in this area, this surrounding area, is very strategic. It has an incredible history. I haven't thought much about this. We can go from, I believe it's Montreal, for sure, if it's not Montreal, then Ottawa, but basically from Montreal, and even if we thought about or looked at it, I'm pretty sure it's direct right from the East Coast. We can go from one coast to another coast and basically use one road. Now, there's a couple of turns. There's a couple of different ways that you may have to go, but you just using one highway. I lived in Mattawa for quite a while, and there's a turn. When you come down the Highway 17 into Mattawa, you got to turn left to go up 17 to North Bay. But if we went from, I'll say Ottawa, that's the nation's capital, and so that's significant. We can go from Ottawa to down the 17, go to Mattawa, turn, go to North Bay, go from North Bay to Sudbury. Before Sudbury, there's a turn that you can bypass the city and get to Sault Ste. Marie, which is about a three-hour drive. Go to Sault Ste. Marie. From Sault Ste. Marie, start going north, about an eight-hour drive to Thunder Bay. Then from Thunder Bay, you go west, and you can hit Winnipeg. And then you can, from Winnipeg, you can hit Regina. And basically, again, you're bypassing the cities, but you're still using one road. So you get to Regina, and I've traveled it. I've traveled it actually a couple of times, and you can keep going. And then you keep going, you're going west and you're on the Highway 1, it's called, or the Trans-Canada Highway, and you can go into Calgary. Edmonton's to the north, and just go into Calgary. Then you just keep on going, and what do you hit next of real significance are the Rocky Mountains. And you can go through the Rocky Mountains and all the way to Victoria. Guys, there's something here. Pay attention to what Linda had said. There is something here. And for far too long, this city has just sat back. I was here in 1988. I was pastoring in this city as a young man in 1988, 1989, 1990. 2 often, for too long, what has taken place, which has taken place in so many different communities and so many different cities everywhere throughout Canada, this whole idea of Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot as promised to Moses. Your territory will extend, and it gives a geographical area. So that verse has been taken so much and has taken ownership by people who ought not should have been taking ownership of it. Or what they did, they took ownership of it and they didn't do what Linda did this morning. They didn't include the others. This is mine. This is ours. This is more mine than ours. They didn't share it. And we've had people in this community, leaders who have, I don't know if I can't say from by fact who have claimed this verse, but they have tried to build their own kingdom. They've tried to build their own church in a way that this is the great church that's going to be in this community, in this area. That doesn't work anymore. And so Linda got an invitation. Linda got, and there's probably a lot more to it, got an anointing, got an invitation from someone who has something to do, has an incredible connection with the land of this region, with the land of this country. And basically what God is saying, this is what I'm going to give you. Are you going to be a part of it? So we can take one road, go from way off in the east, and go right across the land, go right through our... the Highway 1117 goes right through our city. You don't even bypass it. It goes right through. If there ever should be a people who come together on behalf of God's heart for this land, it's people who live in this area. But for far too often, we've tried to build our own kingdom. We tried to make our church the church. It doesn't work. How many people in this city in the last 30 years have given their lives to the Lord? There's probably somewhere we could find a statistic for it. But I'd venture to say over such a long period of time, not a whole lot. Why? Oh, there's a lot of reasons why. I'll illustrate it this way. This was going back around 1994. Was at a conference in Hamilton. And one of the old-time Pentecostal guys was just sharing a testimony, a leader of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And he talked about movements that happened in times past. And he talked about what's known as, and he would have been, now this is going back to 1995, and he was, at that time, I can't even remember his name, at that time he was much older. And he said, they talked about the Latter Rain movement. And the Latter Rain movement was a move of God that broke out in Saskatchewan around the late 40s and early 50s. And it was very similar to those who were young enough at that time and old enough. It was very similar to the renewal movement that was happening in Toronto in the mid-90s. And it was an incredible time. It was incredible, of people coming to the Lord, of people being refreshed, renewed, and healed, and so on. Well, this gentleman from the leadership of the Pentecostal Assemblies, he said, it was going, but it stopped. You know why? Because we were arguing on who was on first. Get it? And then he did, These old guys, when they preached, they knew how to illustrate these things. He took his hands and he said, we were arguing on who was on first. Or in other words, who was first. Folks, God don't care if you're first. Matter of fact, what does he say about first? Anybody? Hey. And then he says, he who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. We've got to get this thing out of our mindset and out of our spirit and out of us that we're going to be on first. Right now, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada has and is learning that. I recall at just a general meeting, it was a local meeting here in 1991, and one of the leaders of our district said he doesn't believe that God wants he believes that God wants to do a strong, mighty move, but he wants to use us. Because he was talking to a lot of pastors at that. He wants to use us. But the way he was referring to it, he just only us. That don't work. So here we have this young lady, a leader from the Six Nations, and she's speaking to Linda and speaking things that are in the depths of her heart and that are in her heritage. And it has to do, and we got to look at big picture, it has to do not just with our region, but with our nation.
Yes.
And so folks, what I want to bring out, okay, Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Every place where you set your foot, as promised to Moses. This was Joshua's undertaking. This was his calling. This was his responsibility. And get this. God is still looking for Joshua's today.
Yes.
And I'm going to add this one. Because I heard that there was this one ministry that uses this as a... Actually, it's the name of a conference they do every year in the springtime. And they call it the Joshua Generation. It's for all people who are 50 years of age and over. And it's specifically aimed for them, which makes sense because there's a lot of us around. And not only is there an emphasis on young people, and not only is there an emphasis on young adult people, well, there's this emphasis on this group 50 and over. Because why is there an emphasis? Because there's still something there. There's still something in them. There's still something that needs to be done. I tell my friends, I tell my family that I'm going to be 57 years old in April, and I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. I know what I want to do, and I know what's in my heart to do, and it's all part of this. God is still looking for Joshua's, and he's looking for Joshua's, not just those who stand behind the pulpits like this and preach the word every week. He's looking for the people who are the janitors in the schools, who are the hairstylists in the shop,
yes,
who collect the garbage in all the various communities. Get what I'm saying? He's looking for those who take care of people in the hospitals. He's looking for the doctors and the police officers and the lawyers who are going to stand up for God and be strong, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He's looking for them to be Joshua's. Why? Because there's a land to be taken. So, Gateway Pentecostal Church, we just heard a few words from Linda. And again, you know there's a lot more to it. What are you going to do with it? You see, not only are gone the days where we as leaders are saying or can say or should say that, yeah, it's our church. My church is the church. You should come to my church because it's the church. It's the church in this community. So not only does that have to go, gone are the days where the Pastor Ken and Pastor Linda's are the people who do all the work and the preaching and the praying. Those days are gone. Right now, okay, and I won't do this, but right now I could stand right here, I could point to you directly and call your name and saying, here's something I know God wants you to do. Because I've seen you, I've heard you, and it's in you. And you know what happens when you talk to people like that? They get afraid. Rightfully so. And right, but folks, if you are born again by the Spirit of God, especially then if you are filled with the Spirit and you use that prayer language of praying in tongues for that personal edification, if you've got a love for the Lord, if you've got a desire, if you know how to read the Word of God, and if you read the Word of God, then there's a calling on your life and you can't escape it. There'll be people who get well into the ripe old age of whatever, and they've never learned, or they've never accepted, or they've never walked out the calling that God has had for them. And God is still calling people today who are just like you and I. I'm going to call some people out. This guy who just got a new haircut. You can go into his shop, okay? You can go into his shop, and he'll start talking to you about the things of God. And he'll start talking to you about the mechanics and what's wrong with your vehicle and what needs to be done and how much is it going to cost. But that's what he does for a living. That's not his passion. His passion would be when you go to his house and he's got a whole bunch of people sitting around the table and you're talking about the things of God. Amen? Dave, stand up. Stand up. Pastor Ken has been talking about Dave, and rightfully so. I knew Dave before. I knew Dave before he knew Nancy. Well, not really. Because they're related. Like, did anybody know that? That Dave's sister is married to Nancy's brother. Okay? So I've known Dave for a while, and in different occupations and in different ways, in the same way like Peter, you could go to Dave's place and talk about what's relevant at that time and what's needed at that time in terms of, you know, whatever you need. But that's not his passion. Amen, brother? Thanks. Hey, Steve. Yeah. You've got a heart. Pastor Ken talks about looking for gold. And you've got a heart of gold. Don't hide it. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, see, they know. Nikki, where's the bald-headed guy? It's easier to talk about him. I've gotten to know Kevin in the years that Mike and I have been at this church. And he's had a ton of different physical difficulties. And we even know time in recent times. And I've said this to Kevin, as big as his body is as big as his heart is. And it's a heart that God wants to use, and I'll tell him that from time to time. And he just kind of, you know what I'm talking about. Sam. Sam will be one where he doesn't say a whole lot or do a whole lot. And I remember this when he was 15 years old. How old are you now, Sam?
25.
Yeah. When he was like 15 years old. And he didn't say a whole lot and do a whole lot. But then when you sit down with him or you listen to him, and when he speaks and you really listen to him, you're going to hear God speak through him.
Yeah.
What am I saying? It doesn't matter who we are. In a manner of speaking, we are all Joshuas. We are all Calebs. We are all Joshua. We are all Calebs. And we have a calling. And we have a destiny. And especially as long as you live in this area, as, for this geographical area. And so what do we need to do? It's good to hear about this stuff and to get all excited about this stuff. What do we need to do? Well, from the message I was going to speak this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. We know him as a God who is loving, kind, merciful, forgiving. His love is from everlasting to everlasting. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. But he's also a consuming fire, a jealous God. Just think of right now, picture in your mind, when you hear that phrase, consuming fire, jealous God, what do you think of? That's something intense. That's something powerful. That's something deep. He's a consuming God. Our God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. That's not one can be taken lightly. God the Father is one who's going to be reckoned with, regardless if we believe Him or not, or give Him reverence or not, or follow Him or not. The world is going to have to reckon with, to deal with God the Father as a consuming fire. And guess where it starts? Right here. His church. Consuming fire. Jealous God. Punchline of the message, who's he jealous for? Somebody speak it out. Who's he jealous for?
All of us.
Yes. His people. There's an intense jealousy. There's an intense burning desire of jealousy for you and I. Now, how do we know this? Well, real simple. Go to John 3:16. For God so what? He loved the world. That he did what? He gave. What did he give?
His
son. For who?
Whoever believes in him.
Yeah, for whosoever. It doesn't say, well, he gave, well, let's see now. He gave his son for the Protestant culture. He gave his son for all the Muslims in the world. He gave his son for all the people who live in North America. Whosoever. And that's a theme with the Father. That whosoever. Anybody, everybody. All you have to do? Yeah, believe in him. Give your life to him. Our God is an intense jealousy for you and I. He's jealous for our talents, skills, and ability. He is jealous for our hearts, our lives. Get this one now. He's jealous for our time. I wonder if a young guy like Joshua here in Joshua chapter 1 knew that. I got an idea he did. He's jealous for our time. He's jealous for our lives. Why? Well, one reason. Well, basically, because he wants to be with us. He just wants to be with us. He just wants to have fellowship. He wants to have connection. Us with him and him with us. He wants to be with us. And that's the bottom line to the message I was going to speak this morning. So at any time if you hear me speak that message, you already know the punchline. But he wants to be with us. And the time is coming where that divide of those who are with him and those who are not, or those who love him and those who don't, is going to be seen. It's going to be evident. It's going to be manifested. I'm talking about his church. I'm talking about the Christian people. Because let's be honest, not every Christian person has that desire, that zeal, or is on fire. We haven't used that phrase in a long time. Or is on fire for the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. So you're Joshua. God's telling you this. He's giving you some encouragement. Hey, Moses is gone. You're it. You're the guy. What are you going to do with it? Same thing to you and I, folks. I got an idea where there's a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience in this room in regards to the things of God. Right on. Excellent. What are you going to do with it? God's looking for he's still looking for Joshua and Calebs. Some of you have walked with the Lord for a long time. Not only have you raised your kids, you've had a hand in raising your grandkids. And the tour, the journey has not always been easy. You know very well when it says there may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. The problem with that is that those night seasons can last a long time, but you've endured, you've persevered. Right on. Excellent. What are you going to do for the future? Folks, we got a treasure. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why God chose to use you and I is just because we're so imperfect and like sometimes we're so out of line and we make mistakes and we sin and we just do all that and it's, ugh, God, like, why do you put up with it? Jesus, you know, with the disciples, he said, like, well, you can see him going like this. Go, what's with you guys? Like, how long do I got to put up with you? But because of that love and because of that grace and because of that mercy and that everlasting love and because of the mercy that endures forever, he says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you alone. I'll never leave you alone. So, and we're going to take communion in a minute. I will give you every place where you set your foot as promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert and from Lebanon to the great river of the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, and to the great sea on the west. Listen to this one. No, verse 5, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God makes this promise to Joshua in the same way he made it to Moses. So why would we think he's not making it to us? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it encourages us, it strengthens us, it challenges us. Sometimes, Father, you really get in our face. And so, Father, we just ask now that as we're about to take part in communion, that you would once again extend your grace to us. Father, as we take part in that which represents the broken body and that which represents the shed blood, that your blessing would be in us and on us all the days of our life. And Father, we pray that for our kids and we pray that for our grandkids. So Father, we're just here. We're your kids. And we're here to bless you and to thank you. And you tell us we can do this, what we call communion. We can do this as often as we desire, but you just said, just do it in remembrance of me. And so, Father, Lord Jesus, we do that today. We do this in remembrance of you. I'm going to read the one verse or the one portion of Scripture, and then if we could come, Pastor Ken and Pastor Linda will hand out the emblems. Then I'm going to read another portion. We're going to pray and we'll partake. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's come, folks. Let's come.